Creator God, thank you again for allowing us to be here in your house together. Please send your Holy Spirit to fill us up, give us understanding, lead us to a heart that longs for you and each other. We love you. Amen. So, I had spoken last time about a couple of topics. Overall theme was cells, so cells in our bodies. We talked about the members of our body, our specialization. Today I'm going to speak of our diversity and about our worth. Two things that I think, one, are pretty cool. Two, very important in the day we live in if you watch the news, especially if you're an NFL fan. So diversity. There are over 200 different types of cells in our body. I finished last time talking about how we get to where we are as humans. We start out as two little cells, haploid cells as it is, and end up with a super cute baby. And he is in Gatlinburg with my wife and her family this weekend, so they are not here. But this is what you end up with. And then they start toddling towards you, and then it goes from there. And it's a really awesome experience. But there's 200 different types of cells in the body, and each one has a very unique purpose. And I spoke of that some last time. Got red blood cells, muscle cells, bone cells, nerve cells, all that have a different job. And so this is a very small sample of what our cells do and what each one, their unique purpose is. This isn't the greatest slide, but you can kind of see each one has a job to do. The pancreas, the heart, the blood, the lungs, the egg, the bones, the kidneys, muscles, brain, liver, and so on and so forth. They all serve a very unique purpose. Each one without the other isn't going to be able to do a whole lot by itself to form a human. One prayer quest I did not mention and is on my heart today. One of my best friends in the whole world has found out that that pancreas cell right there may not be working right. Pancreas in and of itself is also unique in that it serves multiple functions. Small cell, middle part of the body right here, up under the rib cage, does a lot of things. 95% of the cells are built for exocrine function, meaning that they help with our digestion. If you know anybody with cystic fibrosis, you know they need to add different enzymes that their pancreas creates to allow you to digest food. The other 5% work on endocrine function, meaning that they do different hormone-related things and different chemicals inside the body and through our bloodstream that allow us to process food, process sugar, etc. This particular friend may have what they call an insulinoma. An insulinoma, thankfully, is, if that's what it ends up being, we're still waiting for results, is not a death sentence like an exocrine tumor of the pancreas. This is one, hopefully, that can be resected and removed and allow hopefully normal function again. One cell, abnormal, leads to all these things. So diversity is great unless one of those pieces decides all of a sudden, I'm going to do it my way. And all of a sudden, this whole nature of the body and the unit is completely thrown off balance, which in some cases can lead to death. The whole body is destroyed because one bad apple. Christ's body is the exact same way. If we all work together, we're great. If we don't, bad things happen. We're not all nerve cells. As y'all may have remembered me talking about last time, nerve cells are pretty spectacular in how they transmit signals to and from the brain. They work in a very unique way, and the chemicals that are moved back and forth across these cells, how fast they move. You watch somebody play a symphony and play a piano really, really well. It's pretty amazing that the piano, those notes, your fingers have to move prior to your brain even processing them. It has to be that ingrained into your memory. I can't even play a note, so imagining how they do that, it's even more amazing. So you may think, if you got to be that good, how can I be somebody worthwhile for myself or for my church or my community? But God picks some really interesting and unlikely people to do jobs. We don't like our fat cells very much. And we don't like our pain receptors when we touch the hot stove. But they're useful. They serve a purpose. So I want to go through some examples, and I'll go through fairly quickly because I'm going to try to get y'all out of here by 12. But a really cool list that I've always found interesting. Some examples of Bible characters that you wouldn't have found were the greatest people. Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson had long hair and was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah was too young. David was an adulterer, not to mention a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. Y'all are probably glad I didn't do that today. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. John the Baptist ate bugs. Andrew lived in the shadow of his big brother. Peter denied Christ. All the disciples fell asleep while praying and ran away when Jesus really needed them. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Mary Magdalene was demon-possessed. Zacchaeus was too small. Timothy had an ulcer. Paul was a Christian killer. Oh, and Lazarus was dead. So let's remember all these people, and I could go on and on about this list. I haven't found a single person in the Bible who was perfect all the time. Now, Jesus was obviously perfect, but no other human character. Daniel did a pretty awesome job. We just studied that in our class with the young people. Enoch was pretty awesome. He walked with God. But Moses was really awesome, but none of them were perfect. So John 17:11. So this is what Jesus prayed about our differences. Jesus says, I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. I want you to remember, too, what the word church means. Anybody know? It means it's from the word ecclesia. Ekklesia, which means the called out ones. God calls all of us. No matter what we look like on the outside, no matter our strengths and our weaknesses, He's the one who fashions us in His image. Whether it's our physical bodies or Christ's body on earth. So whatever you look like in the mirror, that's how God made you. He had a reason. Whatever it was. And He didn't do it because He was making fun. He did it because He cares. Dr. Brand, the gentleman that wrote this novel, he writes that the artist excels not by slathering one color across the canvas, but by positioning it between contrasting and complementary hues. Any artist in here? Yeah. So is that how it works? You try to mix things up. The original color then derives richness and depth from its milieu of unlike colors. The basis for our unity within Christ's body begins not with our similarity, but with our diversity. I want to challenge everyone here to embrace this diversity in ourselves, our bodies, our church here, and Christ's body around the world. We're all unique. You can go to a church in Japan or Ethiopia or South America. They're all going to be different, but we all are worshiping the same guy. We're looking at the same person who saved us. And remember, as I talked last time, our bodies don't have specific nerves for pleasure. And our church body cannot have joy unless we all realize that we can be diverse without having to be feeling isolated. Jesus again says in John 10, verse 10, "These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full." So let's embrace our diversity. The other thing I want to mention is the idea of worth. I deal with a lot of young people, and the sense of lack of worth is one of the most pervading things that I see. I know it is also a pervading theme in the lives of adults, even those here in this building. Many of you would probably not feel comfortable admitting that to everyone else, but we've all faced it at one time or another, some more than others, some to extreme detriment. It's hard to feel worthy sometimes, but God tells us that we are worthy. Dr. Brand, I told y'all, was a missionary child in India, became a hand surgeon. His parents were in the middle of some really poor areas. And he recounts a story in his book about some men who walk up to their house one day. And he said his parents were always kind and inviting and loving, inviting people inside. And this time it was different. He didn't understand. And come to find out, his mom, like, tells him, go get in the house. He's like, what's going on? My parents are always kind. And then he finds out that these men have leprosy. And his parents care for these men, bandage their wounds, give them food to eat, and help them as much as they can. This was a lesson for him in understanding the idea of worth. People that everybody else in society had pushed out, pushed away, made feel that they were less than human. His parents, even in the direst of circumstances back then, they did not have the treatments that we have now, partially because Dr. Brand ended up developing them. And this was a catalyst for his life. One of the things that he asked after seeing this is, how does leprosy produce such terrible effects? How can it do these things? And he spent his life trying to figure out the answer. And I told you a little bit about this last time, but he learned that leprosy attacks the nerve cells, causing a person to lose the sense of pain, which leads to all these horrible effects of loss of limbs and etc., loss of vision. It's because they don't feel pain. And I'd spoken a little bit about the idea of other diseases that do similar things. We see diabetics with this same problem. They lose the ability to have their nerve work in their feet. They end up having foot ulcers, and some people end up losing limbs. I'd spoken of my friend with a possible pancreatic cancer, sickle cell anemia. Just takes one thing, one cell going awry. So witnessing all these things reminds us that each of our bodies is valuable. So Jesus stressed the same thing about the body of Christ. Romans 12, 5, he says, "So we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." Ephesians 4, 16, "From whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." And y'all have, you remember what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about each of our members. I'd spoken about that last time. I always encourage you to go back to that to remind us. So looking closer at Paul's point, every single member, even the ones we don't think about, we're all unique. We all have a job. Our culture, though, in the United States, and honestly any culture around the world, even where he came from in India, there's a caste system. Some people were just flat out worth more than others. Monarchies were the same way. And even in our, quote, modern culture, we still tend to put a value on people and what they do, whether it is based on their job, their color, their sex, or some other reason. Unfortunately, that's something that still happens. Society tends to view janitors, fast food workers, nursing home patients as replaceable. And they put this high badge on movie stars and athletes, doctors, lawyers, pilots, business executives, that, like, for some reason they're worth more. The Bible speaks very harshly against those who show favoritism. And I'm not just talking to y'all, I'm talking to myself here. We all do this to some form or another. But I think it's important that we remind ourselves, are we any better than anybody else? What does Jesus say? James 2, verses 2 through 4. For if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes in a poor man in dirty clothes, and you pay special attention to the one who is wearing the fine clothes and say, you sit here in a good place. And you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down by my footstool. Have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? And James 2 verses 8 through 10 say, if, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all. And finally, Colossians 3 verse 11, there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man, but Christ is all and in all. Dr. Brand closes this section and writes that God requires only one thing of his cells, that each person be loyal to the head. If each cell accepts the needs of the whole body as the purpose of its life, then the body will live in health. Shyness, beauty, eloquence, race, sophistication, none of these matter. Only loyalty to the head and through the head to each other. As I prepare to close today, I just want to remind you all how important this lesson is. And I don't want to just do it for our church, y'all. It's easy to be good to each other when we're all on the same page. It's not as easy to be good to each other when we're different. That's my challenge to each one of you this week, and as the weeks go ahead, is that we would remember our first duty is to God, to give Him everything that we have, our strength, soul, mind, our bodies, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. It's as simple as that. I mean, if you go and get into all these theological classes, you're going to learn all this stuff. But when I'm teaching my kids, these are the two things I tell them. And we as adults, we forget this so much. How can we love other people if we don't show love? Let's bow our heads. Creator God, thank you again for helping us to understand that we are diverse and unique, and that no matter who we are, we have worth in your eyes, made us in your image. As was eloquently sung today, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. You love us. Help us to love you and to love other people. Please help us to take this message as we go about our days, as we rise up and as we go to sleep. Thank you for who you are, Lord. We love you. Amen.